Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Hey everybody, welcome to AnimeCast. A quick programming note before we get started. Last week I announced that we were interviewing the folks at Manga Gamer. That interview did happen, but it wrapped up just a few hours before the tragic events on Thursday, so obviously I decided to hold it for a little later on. You will hear that. It'll probably be the next show, maybe next week, maybe the week after. But obviously our focus is elsewhere this week. And one other quick thing before we get started here. Justin and I are both going to be participating in the Anime Fans Give Back to Japan fundraising drive this weekend. I believe it's March 19th through the 20th. It's a 24-hour podcast-a-thon fundraiser that's being put together by the folks at the Unofficial One Piece Podcast. You can visit their site at helpjapan.onepiecepodcast.com. Give up a little fundage, maybe help some people out, feel better about yourself. Justin and I will both be appearing on their 24-hour show on noon PST on Sunday, I think, but you should listen to the whole thing. I'm sure everyone's going to be bringing their A game. So check that out. Again, it's helpjapan.onepiecepodcast.com. Okay, our guest this week is Sam Panaski. He's an employee of Tezuka Productions, subtitle engineer and translator, I believe, and he lives in Chiba, which is about a 45-minute train ride from Tokyo. And Sam, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today. Really appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Not a problem.
So, firstly and most importantly, how are you doing?
Where I am here is fairly inland, and there's no worries about tsunamis. But there was definitely a fairly severe earthquake here when the initial earthquake struck, and there have been continuous mild aftershocks. It's an inconvenience, but thankfully, you know, the building I am in is a brand new apartment building. I'm actually the first person ever live in this particular room, and so safety wise I'm not concerned about the thing structurally, but the rest of the, you know, how Tokyo and the rest of Japan is doing is sort of what worries on my mind at this point.
Right, so what I guess we'll start from the beginning. Where were you when the quake struck, and tell us about your experience?
Well, I was here in my one room apartment working on this week's Beelzebub. Actually,
okay,
which is still not aired, so no spoilers. Sorry,
right.
But I was actually sitting here at my computer translating when the initial earthquake struck. It was 2:46 in the afternoon, and when the quake first hit. I mean, there are plenty of earthquakes around here since I've lived here about 3 years, and you know, experienced many earthquakes. And at first, it started off as a bad earthquake, you know, that one of the more stronger ones that I'd experienced as I've been here. But then after about 3 or 4 seconds, it became clear that this was not just a four. This was much bigger than that. And I sort of braced myself and paused for a second and then made the decision to get out of the building. I actually live in the second floor of my apartment building, which is 14 stories. And very close to the actual stairs. So in my case, actually, getting out of the building takes about 15 seconds. So I saved my work because I guess that's my priority, I suppose. And
smart.
Got my jacket, put on my shoes, and ran out of the building. And that all took about, maybe that was about 40 seconds after the earthquake had started. At that time, the shaking was really severe. I specifically remember just walking down the hallway was difficult, or running, hard to tell. And as I got out of the building, I mean, just the feeling was like the entire earth was rocking and swaying. Like people have said this on the news, but it really felt like we were on a boat. If you've ever been on a medium-sized boat, not like a cruise ship, but a smaller boat, walking up and down the waves. And it continued like that for about 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. And, you know, on the street, there were many other people that had run out of their buildings and were sort of standing around. Where I live is a fairly, you know, there's plenty of apartment buildings. It's not really dense, but there's houses and apartment buildings mixed together. And many people were at work, so it wasn't really that many people on the street. Mainly families and some some elderly people. And after the quake subsided, the initial quake subsided, I went back up to my apartment, and one of my monitors was on the floor, and my shelves were all messed up, and it was pretty bad in here. But it didn't lose power, didn't lose internet, not even for a moment.
Wow.
So I set my monitor back up, and there were a bunch of messages. I tried to respond to the people I could, so all of them was okay. And then tried to get back to work, but pretty much soon afterwards there was another fairly large aftershock, and I made the decision that now is not the time, and I got some stuff together and walked over to Chiba Park, which is nearby, and sat down on a bench and on my cell phone watched NHK for about an hour as the tsunamis saw the first pictures of the tsunamis coming in. While I was sitting there on the bench, a giant plume of smoke was coming over the horizon, clearly within sight of where I was. And now, where I live is actually nearby Chiba City, or in Chiba City, which is right next to Chiba Station. And it's not that far, maybe about a 45-minute walk to the oil refineries on the coast, which is, if you saw the pictures of the one that was really on fire, Ishihara, not that Ishihara, the place Ishihara.
Okay.
That was very close to where I was, and while I was sitting there in the park, there were two very large explosions. I didn't know what they were at the time, but I did see an oil refinery on fire on while I was watching on the phone, so I put two and two together and figured out that those explosions were probably from the oil refinery, which actually, oddly enough, gave me some peace of mind.
How did that give you peace of mind?
Well, because if you're going to have, it's not the infrastructure, it's not society, it's an oil refinery, and yes, those do explode when they're on fire, so
right.
That's something I can understand. Let's put it that way. It gave me peace of mind due to the fact that I knew what it was and could identify what the explosion was. And
I see.
Yeah.
Unknown is scarier than known, you know what I mean?
Right.
And everything, at the situation like this, the more you know, the more you sort of, the more you can deal with it. So after about an hour or so, and I should say, after in this hour, there were 20 aftershocks of varying degrees. And I went back to the apartment and got the rest of the show done, is what I did. Because, I had no idea what the real... I mean, I knew it was a terrible disaster and all, but I didn't have anything else to do in a way, and it was a way to keep my mind off things. So then the rest of the day, I went off out to a convenience store and bought some basic supplies. By that point in time, there was already no water left, but there was plenty of other food and beverages still available. Here in Chiba, I mean, the actual damage that I observed wasn't very much. Some construction sites for buildings were clearly in disarray, but the actual buildings themselves were all structurally sound.
Okay, so you didn't have any serious collapses or anything
no,
like that?
No, I mean, really, the buildings the buildings that, well, the actual shaking that occurred here was, where I live, was, I put my estimates in from the USGS site that I looked at, was around a 6.2 or 6.3, I think, is what it actually felt here in terms of magnitude, which is, big, but building can withstand that. The main damage, as you saw, was really the tsunami, and thankfully, actually, I live closer to Tokyo Bay than the eastern part of it. The eastern shore of Chiba province, like Kujikiri and Choshi, were hit with the tsunami, and I think the fishing ports at Choshi is pretty screwed up right now.
Right, but there wasn't any... For you personally, it was a really bad earthquake that you sort of quickly... sounds like you quickly recovered from, especially if you went immediately back to working, which I can understand that when it's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and you gotta get these things done. Of course, at this point, they had no idea at that point whether it was going to air or whatever. You have to get it done anyway.
We still don't.
Chiba, where I am, and pretty much is this pretty much the same case as Tokyo, which is there really isn't any direct damage, but there's a lot of indirect inconvenience right now. Actually, today and yesterday was extremely bad from a normal working society standpoint because of the rolling blackouts that they've been instituting. So that was the earthquake. But then that, you know, and the tsunamis and all the news continued on through the night, and I, for some reason, didn't get much sleep, so I was sort of watching what was going on. I was watching NHK primarily, and then of course the Fukushima nuclear plant incident began being reported, and that immediately got everybody really panicked. I mean, I think, and just as of 2 hours ago, there was another explosion at reactor number 2. This time in a containment vessel. I don't know if it's leaked out into, no pun intended, into the Western media yet.
Okay.
Then you're probably freaking out like everybody else is here in Japan right now. Thankfully, my background in physics has given me some peace of mind in that I can piece through the misinformation, but that doesn't mean that everybody else can, and there's a lot of sensationalism going on about that. But that, you know, not to minimize the fact that it really is a horribly dangerous and, situation and ongoing, and I can only hope and pray that the people, you know, that are working on the site and that are actually working on there are really doing everything they can to make sure that it's contained as much as they can. Whether or not there's proper information coming out or not, we'll see eventually in terms of history, but I have confidence that the people actually working there are doing their best. In response to this, basically right now in the north, there are three separate nuclear facilities that are completely shut down. There's the Ogawara nuclear site, there's the Fukushima nuclear site, which is the one that's having all the problems, and there's another one up, I forget the name, but it's that wasn't hit by the tsunami, but it was also shut down due to the earthquake. And now, people, your listeners probably don't know, but realize this, but Japan is actually split into two separate zones for energy. The west and southerly parts are actually at 50 hertz, and the Kansai Power, I believe it's the power company, and then there's TEPCO, the Tokyo Power Company, which runs the northern part, which is at 60 hertz, the same as the U.S. This is purely historical reasons. Basically, the original power infrastructure in the north was done by GE, and the one in the west and south was done by some European company. And so they use the European standards and the Western standards, which aren't at the same frequency. And so there's like a dividing line between 50 and 60 hertz in the middle of the country. Now, that means, unfortunately, you can't spread the power. Usually when the power plants get shut off, the load gets spread to the other power plants on the same grid. But in this case, the grids are separate, and literally something like 30% of the generating capacity of the of TEPCO is offline right now, and that includes Tokyo, which is a problem. They can't get power from the west because it's on a different frequency, and they don't have the transformer capabilities to put that much extra power through from grid to grid. Therefore, as of day before yesterday, the night, I guess it would be Saturday night or Sunday night, they made the decision to implement rolling blackouts through the entire Tokyo and the northern part of Japan. They split everybody into five groups, and basically each group gets 3 or 6 hours without power during the daytime. Up to is what they claim. This was announced literally 10 p.m. on Sunday night to go into effect at 6 a.m. on Monday, the first day, quote, back at work, unquote. That caused havoc in terms of the Tokyo commute. I had a meeting on Monday, and I had no idea how I was going to get there. JR, after the announcement, basically announced, okay, because of the power outage, we'll be running almost nothing. The only trains that they ran on Monday were the Yamanote line, some parts of the Chuo line, some parts of Rinkai, and I believe... And some of the metro, and those were even those were only running at 10 or 20% capacity, and that's totally within the center of Tokyo. Basically, is what was running. Out here in Chiba, there were literally no trains at all running in the entire Chiba province yesterday, and I don't have a car, and it's 50 kilometers to Tokyo from here. So I had no idea how I was going to get in town. So actually what I did, I managed to get in town. I got up at 6 a.m. before the power outage just started and got on a bus to Haneda Airport. Now, you're probably aware that there are two airports in Japan. There's Narita, which is farther away from Tokyo than where I am, and then there's Haneda, which is mainly a domestic airport. And I actually took a bus there, and the bus didn't actually go straight through Tokyo. It went around south and then went through the tunnel through Tokyo Bay, avoiding the gigantic traffic jam that which had occurred. And then from there, I managed to take the monorail from the airport into Tokyo and get into an area which was unaffected by the power outages. They scheduled power outages for everywhere around the entire country except for central Tokyo, which, when you think about it, is kind of a bit fishy, considering central Tokyo is the place that uses the most power. But, you know, I think there were political concerns in terms of that. And I actually managed to make it to the meeting. And then I had no way to get home. So last night I actually bumped at a friend's place in town. And thankfully today they're still doing rolling blackouts, which they report will continue through the end of April. I don't know how that's going to happen. But they've at least started trains back up that go out to Chiba at this point. But still only at 20% capacity. So every train I was on that was going in town this morning was, you know how crowded trains can get in Tokyo. Multiply that times about 50%, and jeez, you find that you get limbs sticking out of the trains as they're moving. Sorry, that's an exaggeration, but literally I was squeezed so hard against the door that it was hurt. I had never been on a train that crowded before, and I... Let's hope that never happens again. So, yeah, that's the current situation. I'm currently under rolling blackouts right now. According to the schedule, my address is listed in both Group 1 and Group 2. I'm listed twice on the form. Therefore, there's something wrong on the spreadsheet. Or I'm actually going to be getting power outages for 12 hours a day. But since I have power right now, I really don't know what's going on. So, basically... I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to be able to continue work consistently. I have a laptop and other ways to get online through wireless, but I have a WiMAX dongle. But I'm thinking, you know, work on my computer when I can. When the power goes off, switch to my laptop, and then when power goes back on, charge up my laptop again, and this could continue for a month. So, and it's not just me, obviously. This is like all of northern Japan. I don't have no idea how any factory could work in this condition. Actually, I do have a report from an actual animation studio in Japan, if you're interested. My job at Tezuka Productions, I obviously have some people I know at Tezuka Studios, the actual animation studio, which is currently doing animation work. For example, Madoka, they help Shaft. They're a co-gaisha for Shaft, so they do a lot of work on shows like that, and I can report firsthand from speaking with some of the employees there that there is no work going on in the animation studios right now. Not until they have some idea of how the power is going to work and the commute. You couldn't even get to most places in Miramar yesterday, so all the trains were shut off. I think the trains are still not running out that far today as well. When it comes, you know, Anime News Network, we'll talk about anime, but I can only assume that anime production is currently at a complete standstill. Anything that's in the can is probably okay, but anything that's currently being produced, I can't see them sticking there, them even coming close to their current schedule. So we'll only have to wait and see and find out what ends up being aired. Obviously, the shows that are mainly animated outside of Japan, like in Korea and China and places like that, will probably be doing better than the ones that are actually animated in Japan right now. And probably KyoAni is okay, if they're out in Kyoto, but anything that's being animated in the standard animation studios, I don't know how they're doing. Maybe the biggest ones have backup generators, you know, but most of them don't. Most of them just, they don't have the money for that.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, firstly, I just want to say you're a much braver and more dedicated man than I, because the fact that you were that dedicated to getting to a meeting, I would have assumed A, the meeting isn't happening, and B.
Well, actually, no. I was impressed that the person I was meeting actually came in from Osaka. actually on the Shinkansen, which was one of the Shinkansen from Osaka was actually running, but only in the morning and only one train. He made it, and I'm sort of impressed that he actually came and he came into Tokyo. That was pretty. I'm glad all my other meetings this week have been canceled, but that one went on.
Yeah, it's just like I would have been in the fetal position on the couch watching the news, which I was, even though I live in Southern California and not in Japan.
Yeah,
but that's dedication. That's dedication. So your chief concern is just like, when can I get back to work? It sounds like.
It's not just work, but you know, the lifestyle and
right.
And when can I, you know, move around freely? Obviously, that's my chief personal concern.
My concern
right now overall is the economy of Japan and whether the nuclear situation really does turn into something that affects a wide area or not. Right now, it's still completely unknown. My knowledge of the type of reactor it is tells me that even the absolute worst case scenario wouldn't affect more than a 5-kilometer radius, but there could be radiation spread by wind much farther than that, but it wouldn't be particularly deadly radiation. But that's a small comfort to most people to hear. Oh yeah, it's not that bad radiation that'll be coming. You know, if it gets the worst case scenario. But even so, we still don't really have the information that there's been an actual rupture of the containment vessel in Reactor 2. It's just there was an explosion and they took precautions to evacuate. To evacuate all but the current workers currently pumping in water. At least the one saving grace is that this explosion has happened 2 days after the initial shutdown of the reaction, so the temperatures should, even if there was no cooling water involved at all, the temperatures should have subsided down to a level that shouldn't melt the cooling rods anymore. So even if the water pumping completely fails at this point, I would imagine that it shouldn't be able to melt through the container at the current temperatures. But that doesn't mean that the many days of overrated pressure that the containers have been sustaining didn't cause any damage. And so I'm not going to discount the fact that there might be leakage of radioactive material in the sites. But I'm not really an expert at nuclear plant physics, so I can't tell you. It's more an engineering issue. Ask an engineer.
Right. So you mentioned that, like, so people are pretty panicked about this situation, because what I'm seeing online, especially on Twitter, it's a whole lot of nothing to see here, don't worry about it, everything's going to be okay. People in Japan aren't panicked about this, which, if I lived anywhere near a nuclear reactor...
You have to understand that the way Japanese people panic is not... It's very different than the way people panic in the U.S. Well, people are very scared. And the way that they react to being scared in Japan is going to work.
Okay.
Right? I mean, but everybody is scared. And everybody's, you know, watching the news and they're not just scared about the nuclear situation, but they're worried about the blackouts, they're worried about the thousands upon thousands of dead, they're worried about the rebuilding, they're worried about their family members that they maybe haven't gotten into contact with. It's a national disaster of, you know, not to be superfluous, but of epic proportions, that's the reaction. I was in America, obviously, for 9/11, and the sense of the people of sort of helplessness and not really knowing what's going on was very similar.
Okay, you sure know how to pick them.
Yeah, sure. Next, I'll move to the next country that'll have epic disaster. And
move over here to Los Angeles. I think we're next.
You know what? I think I'll stay here. I might be safer.
Right.
Jeez. I've been hearing a lot about food shortages all over Japan and Tokyo specifically, from restaurants all the way down to grocery stores. How big of a problem is this in your area?
Well, a lot of food, and the way the food distribution system here works in Japan, is very different than America. It's not; it's much small. It's smaller deliveries in smaller areas with smaller distribution centers. So you don't have like the giant trucks on the highways going back and forth, but you have little trucks going around all the convenience stores constantly. Obviously, the disruption, the power, rolling power outages, and the trains, including freight trains, obviously being stopped, The Musashino line, which is primarily a freight line, and then the Keio line, which also has a serious freight that goes on, are all completely stopped. Actually, I think the Keio line is damaged because it was by the coast. That is hampering the distribution of fresh food. Now, there's still plenty of, you know, there's still plenty of canned products, and although people are, you know, buying them up as a precaution, in Tokyo especially, it seems like people are panicking a bit more than maybe in the suburbs, just because Tokyoites are, you know, city folk, and they need to have their cans of tuna or whatever. But there isn't a food shortage here in my area. There's just a sort of a run on supplies, shall we say. That now, of course, up north in the hit areas that are hit with the tsunami, there's so many inaccessible roads, and the ones that are accessible are being reserved for the defense forces and rescue vehicles, and it is very difficult for the people in shelters to get food and water. Hopefully, you know, obviously that's where donations can help, and although you know, that they can't help in the short term, but you know, they'll definitely help in the long term for the rebuilding. The SDF is doing their best to get in food and water to the shelters, but many of them are really difficult to access, and they're currently in, basically the process they're doing now is building roads and building access to get these people the basic supplies. So we can only sit back and hope that there aren't many or any secondary casualties due to simply being inaccessible in this disaster.
Okay, so here's what there's been a lot of chatter about what the best way to help a first world country in a crisis like this is. And there's been a lot of back and forth about whether or not cash really is the best solution. Of course, it's all anybody here can really do. But is that what you would recommend? Would you recommend donating to... Is that the best way that we can do anything at all?
Well, I donated some money, but I think the donation is not going to hurt, that's for sure.
Right.
But you know, from a practical... purely coldly logical perspective, the money that it, you know, the Red Cross and operations like that are definitely, you know, active right now up north and giving medical, you know, treatment and trying to provide first aid to the people up there. But the government has plenty of resources and is mobilizing, you know, its resources as much as it can, and that is really where the primary source of help is. So, you know, unless you want to just donate to Japan and help lower the debt, you know, it's not going to benefit the relief effort, you know, from an immediate standpoint. But the relief organizations are in full force and definitely trying to do everything they can to help the situation up north. So by donating to the various relief organizations, you're helping them pay for this, essentially, pay for the actions they've been doing and enable them to continue functioning, you know, and doing the good work that they do. So, you know, it's not... You also, I think, in some ways, you know, there's also... So just donating is a good catharsis, and you know, can make people feel better and feel like they really are, you know, doing some help. And I think that's not a bad thing either. You know, if you want to help, that's the best way you can help. For example, if you want to, you know, send packing food in a box and sending it to Japan is not going to help.
Okay, so yeah, there's a couple of things like that popping up, and
yeah, don't do that.
Okay,
that's dumb.
So Red Cross, Doctors Without Japan, Borders, those are the good ones.
It's not there. You know, there's plenty of food in other parts of Japan that is a lot easier. That would be a lot more efficient to send to the affected areas. There's no famine. You know, it's okay. I'm really pretty sure that the Japanese government actually has a huge amount of rice reserves that, in the case of true, like, global or countrywide lack of food, they will actually open up the rice reserve. But that is not occurring, and that is not an issue. The issue is access to food to the damaged areas. And you can't do anything about that except wait for the defense forces to build roads.
Okay, but in Tokyo, it sounds like there's some hoarding going on.
Hoarding going on, and there's a huge disruption to the distribution services. Sending in more food on FedEx is not going to fix that. What's going to happen is it's just going to get stuck in an airport. I mean, if it even gets here. So,
well, that brings me to my other big thing. Now, you live right where the Anime Contents Expo is supposed to happen next weekend.
Yeah, pretty close to that.
And obviously Tokyo Anime Fair was supposed to happen next weekend, and a big chunk of the American industry is still scheduled to head on out over there.
Yep.
What do you think? Is it a bad time? It sounds like because the infrastructure in Tokyo is so bad off.
KOSEN isn't running, then there's nobody's even going to be able to get to the Tokyo Contents Expo, because that's the only train line that goes to Makuhari Messe. So unless you rent a car, and drive on the wrong side of the road over to the building, I don't even know how people are going to get there. Well, actually, there's a bus that goes from Narita to Makuhari that you can probably take.
That's going to be an interesting bus.
Party bus on the road. Tokyo Anime, I believe Big Sight is actually currently closed as well for just checking things out. Although maybe it reopened today, but I haven't exactly gone over to check. So the Tokyo Anime Fair is also going to be up in the air. Obviously, the Tokyo Anime Fair and the Contents Expo committees are going to have to make these decisions and make these decisions very quickly. But I can tell you right now that many of the people on these committees are either, unable to come to work right now or are trapped in foreign countries. At least a couple of people that I know in the anime industry were in Hong Kong when the earthquake hit, and they have not been able to return. They might be able to come back in a day or two now that flights have finally resumed, but work and all sorts of work like this is really up in the air. I believe that's 2 weeks from now is Tokyo Anime Fair, 26th, 27th, right?
About 10 days,
yeah. Also, the State Department, U.S. State Department has, issued a warning not to travel to Japan right now, so I suppose for work situations, we'll see. I can pretty much guarantee you that anybody who is not, invested in coming to these fairs from overseas is not going to come, so... But then again, canceling them at this late date might just do more damage than holding them and having them be empty. I don't even know what they're going to decide. So not to mention the other problems that were occurring regardless of the earthquake. So it's totally up in the air. And actually, I will definitely meet with my boss at Tezuka, who's also a fairly important member of the AJA committee, assuming he's back in the country, because he was also stuck outside of the country. Probably in a day or two, and I'll ask them about it, but that doesn't mean I'll be able to say anything publicly.
Okay, so it sounds like your advice, and this seems like common sense.
Wait a day or two for there to be some kind of official statement from the committees, the TAF committee and the Tokyo Contents Expo committee, or whoever is in charge of that anyway. But don't hold your breath that they're even going to be able to meet enough to make a decision about it until the end of the week.
So this is super up in the air. Wow. Okay. Well, Justin and I both picked this year to not go. Several months ago. So we're both feeling a little. Chris is still gung ho, man.
Actually, to be honest, for people like you for the ANN who are more than just visitors to Japan, but sort of part of, in a way related to the business here in Japan. You should come. If anything, just to it's not like you can't. It's not like you can't get to Japan right now if you really wanted to. So you could come and meet with people and talk with, see how things are going, and hopefully and also provide some firsthand news coverage. I think would also be helpful to everyone.
You're just not going to be up at Tsukiji Fish Market chilling out.
No, that's not what I'm going to be. Although I'm definitely going to, if TAF and the Tokyo Contents Expo occur, I will be there.
Well, that's the big question, is whether or not they're even going to have those events.
Right. But even if they don't have those events, if people like you could come and meet with your contacts here. It doesn't have to be at the fair. But if you're just an anime fan out there listening to this podcast who was thinking of coming to Japan and going to the anime fair while you were here, it might be a good idea to postpone that vacation.
So the people on the Pop Japan Travel Tour for Tokyo Anime Fair may want to rethink that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Pop Japan should rethink it, is what they should do, because if it's an organized tour, they should just reschedule. But if it's something where an individual, if you're able to reschedule as an individual, you should consider. I mean, especially the rolling power black outages and the train schedule being completely. I should also say that when it comes to the train schedule and all of these emergency information, there's none of it in English. So you as a tourist who doesn't speak and read Japanese will be completely at the mercy of random train changes.
Wow.
That would be, as a tourist, actually, I saw a number of tourists here in Tokyo, and they were all going one direction, which is Narita. So I would suggest anybody who doesn't speak or read Japanese to stay away from Tokyo right now, because you won't be able to go anywhere or do anything.
Okay. Well, good advice.
That's one we should tell Chris.
Give it a week at least. I mean, if you're going to, in a week, the situation might have stabilized, but right now it is not stabilized in terms of transportation.
Okay, so it sounds like things are still very much in crisis mode, and for this week at least, it's a good idea to maybe stay home.
Definitely.
Okay. Wow. Well, listen, I mean, that's incredible, and thank you so much for talking to us about all of this.
No, sure. I mean, I hope that people at least hearing what's going on the ground here is give them some more information and. There's a lot of misinformation out there on Twitter and on the especially on websites and that people should hopefully go out and pick the good information from good sources, And the NHK World Broadcast is a pretty decent source for information, although they tend to be a little late and sometimes in reporting things. Other than that, I would go for the major news sites. A lot of the Western media, unfortunately, have picked up on things that were slightly mistranslated or purposefully mistranslated, which, for example, explosion at nuclear reactor, that headline means, it doesn't mean it's a nuclear explosion, right? And so people will panic from things like that, especially in the Western media, and it makes me a little bit upset. Well, makes my family back in America upset is what it makes. So I have to sort of reassure people about what's really going on, and hopefully this helps.
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion over that whole thing, and it sounds like it is kind of a translation issue where it's like your understanding is people there are quite worried, but not because they think it's going to be Chernobyl 2.
Well, some of them do, because some of them are believing the misinformation that they're reading on Twitter.
Okay.
Many of them do trust the government and the spokesmen for the government. Then there are a number of people that distrust the government and think that they're all liars. And then there are people like me who don't trust what the government is telling them, but trust what my knowledge of the kind of reactor and the actual nuclear physics of the situation, and understand that even the absolute worst case scenario is something that shouldn't affect health here in Tokyo. But that doesn't mean wouldn't be a horrible disaster, but it's just something that I personally wouldn't be affected by. But people are worried for so many different things that it's definitely affecting their ability to work and their ability to go about their daily lives. And then the power blackouts just sort of completely reinforce those worries, and it's not something that's going to settle down for another couple of days.
Oh, okay. And just to recap, according to your sources, animation production in Japan, not that this is particularly important right now, but this is Anime News Network, animation production in Japan, according to your sources, is basically at a standstill right now.
As of yesterday, it was a standstill. I'm not sure whether anything got done today, but yesterday, specifically at one animation studio where I have a contact was, there was no work getting done because they didn't know when they'd have power.
You don't want to be in the middle of a project and suddenly the power goes out.
Yeah. I suggested they whip out the pens and the paper and, do it the old-fashioned way and got a laugh. But it's too based on computers now that they can't really operate like that. So we'll see what happens with production schedules.
I have to wonder what this is going to do to, the livelihoods of individual animators and all that, because they're paid by the drawing. So if there's a total work stoppage, nobody is getting paid, and they're being paid a pittance as it is.
I'm hoping, actually, now this is purely my speculation, but there's one thing from a purely animation business perspective, this is sort of not really what we should be thinking about right this time, but I am sort of thinking about this. A lot of the production, from a production schedule standpoint, may be shifted to Korea, right, for the time being. For finishing of the episodes, stuff that's normally done here in Japan might be shifted over to the secondary studios in Korea and China. And when that happens, if it goes on for a couple of weeks, I'm not sure that work will be coming back. And that would be really devastating. If there's a, you know, the work stoppage in Japan and the animators don't get paid, like you said, then, and that continues for more than a week or two, especially if these rolling power outages continue through the end of April, like there have been some reports it might be, and until they can get new capacity online, that I don't know how long that's going to take. I hopefully they're considering building more transformers to get more of the capacity from the West in here, but even then, that could take a couple of weeks to get those sorts of things online. It just might be impossible to work the situation. Maybe they could buy generators. Maybe there are other situations. Hopefully the AJA or some other association like that could provide some kind of temporary assistance to the animators in the time while they're not able to work. I'm not sure. But that's something that they'll have to meet and discuss, and I'm sure each individual studio will have to deal with. And I can only hope that the lowest people on the totem pole, the animators, have some support from the companies that they work for. If they are really left on their own, then they're screwed.
Oh, man.
Well, it's just got more depressing somehow.
Yeah, I don't want to leave on a depressing note, but until work can resume at the studios in some kind of... Even if work does resume, but it only resumes at a half... the rate of normal that it normally does, which I think would be more likely to happen, that's not going to they can't get a 50% pay cut because they can only work half the time during the day. Now, actually, one of the things I'm thinking of doing is just working in the night instead of the day, because the rolling power outages only happen during the daytime hours. So maybe the animation studios could just switch to working completely nocturnally, and then that would work. I don't know, but it's totally something that they'll have to deal with. So we can only wait and see what its effect on the anime industry is, but it's definitely will have a negative effect in the short term, and one can only pray that it won't spill over to the long term.
Well, okay, so here's just a logistics question. Even if production resumes, how soon is this stuff even going to wind up back on television? Because I imagine all this stuff is quite delayed.
Actually, TV Tokyo is already airing anime again because that's what they do. Beyblade aired this morning, and so did actually Tegamibachi aired back on Saturday, and where they're supposed to. They were like, special news, okay, next up, Tegamibachi. And then immediately after it was over, they went back to special news coverage. So there are a couple. TV Tokyo airs the most anime, and they're going back and airing their shows at this point. So that's already on air. Other Fuji, I think, is going to be going wall to wall for at least a couple more days. I doubt they'll air anything. And I'm not sure about Yomiuri and the other TV stations, but Yomiuri was not airing anything today, and it's still solid coverage. Now, like I said, anything that's in the can is probably good to go for another week or two. So, yeah, we might have new episodes for another week or two. But then after that, then it'll hit the episodes whose productions are, currently and being animated right now. And then we'll see what the real effect is. I can almost assure you that the new season is probably going to be delayed.
Yeah, that was sort of my other question.
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks. We'll see.
Just from a basic human standpoint, none of this is particularly important. We all understand that it's quite trivial, cartoons coming back. But from a practical standpoint, it is kind of important to put this stuff back out there just because it provides people with a sense of normalcy. Mm. It gives people, like, entertainment is important. I remember the week after 9/11, to draw a minor comparison, the week after 9/11, there was this really bad Keanu Reeves baseball movie that was the first movie to open after 9/11. And people were like, well, why, should we even put movies out? Should we even bother with it? But people need the escape. They need the breather. They need the break from all the terrible news. And it does provide a service. So from that sense, it is kind of important.
Well, I'm not going to stop my work, translating the shows that have come out, whether or not, no matter what the situation is here, because, there are the fans out there and there are people, and I think you're right, it provides a sort of catharsis and entertainment to get your mind off things. Watching the news coverage continuously for 24 hours is not, it's not good for anybody and doesn't help. Watch the latest news and then do something else and watch. that seems to be the best way of handling things at the moment, and that's what I'm trying to do. Now that I'm finally home and have power, I should be able to get a little bit more work done. Get the next Tagamibachi episode translated, which I just got in. I know TV Tokyo is, you know, they're working. They're working on getting the new stuff out. We'll see how it really pans out in the long term.
I was a little concerned about one thing, and that's that the industry, more or less, its revenues are propped up by the very expensive Japanese DVD sales, which are essentially a luxury good. And the toys as well, they're all pretty expensive. They're all more or less luxury goods. I do wonder how a country in crisis, especially in a financial, with severe financial implications, pretty much rippling through the entire economy, how that's going to affect that.
Well, there might be a short-term burst in sales of figures after people replaced the ones that were damaged in the earthquake. But putting that aside, I think, I don't know, actually. That's an interesting hypothesis, but you're not just talking about a luxury good that any old person buys. You're talking about a very small percentage of very hardcore otaku anyway. And for those people, anime is more important than pretty much anything. So, also, almost everybody who purchases Blu-rays lives in Tokyo or Osaka or one of the cities that weren't affected. So maybe there's some in Sendai, but I'm not sure how. The biggest problem it'll have is perhaps on stores and actually online stores. Amazon.co.jp is shut down because their warehouses suffered some damage. There's a bunch of other. Distribution will be a big issue for that. But, I'm not really sure we'll see a giant drop in sales of Blu-rays. It won't be any long-term effect for that. I don't see that as happening.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're sort of talking about a long-term economic impact, which, of course, there will be one, as there is in any country after a major natural disaster. But it's impossible to tell at this point. It's just too early. This thing's only a few days old.
I don't think that the otaku are going to go, I was really planning to spend $800 on these Blu-rays for this show, but now that there's a disaster, and then I'm not going to spend the money. I don't think actually they make their purchasing decisions on. They don't think about that when making their purchasing decisions. They're just I love this show and I want it, and so I'm going to buy it.
Anything, they might retreat even further.
That might happen.
Yeah, into the escapism. People need that.
At least my wife is safe. That sort of thing.
Right.
I thought we were trying to get happy here.
Right. Well,
that was sort of a black joke, but it was okay, I guess.
Okay. Well, listen, again, thank you so much, and stay safe, obviously. I assume you will not be traveling too much.
No, I'm going to try and minimize the number of times I have to go into Tokyo or not, because it's just going to be hell each time back, getting in and out at this point. But I can work pretty much entirely online and at home, so that's what I plan to do.
Just perhaps from the hours of 9 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Right, just like usual.
Right, okay. Well, okay, awesome. Well, Sam, again, thanks a lot, and we're thinking about you, and keep in touch. Let us know if anything major happens, or your insight is quite
welcome.
I'll
keep posting on your forum, so then
yeah,
people.
Okay. Right, there you go. All right, well, okay, that about wraps it up. Okay, obviously, big thanks to Sam for coming on. Our thoughts are with him and obviously the people of Japan. Also, I wanted to make a quick mention: the Anime Expo Live podcast. They have a live video show called AX Live. It's at www.animeexpo.org/AX-live, or you can just type in AX Live into Google. They're also doing a fundraiser show this Thursday, March 17th at 7 p.m. That's a live show. I believe their charity is specifically the Japanese Red Cross. And you can watch their live show. They're going to have some guests. And so check that out. It's another place you can watch some people being interviewed and donate to a good cause. So check that out. All right. Take care, everybody.